self-restraint is feeling my oats without sowing them. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Capitol, California, with the instant inspiration. Now, isn't that an instant inspiration? Self-restraint is feeling my oats without sowing them. Young people have a tendency to want to get out and try the untried, try the new, the exciting adventures that are in life. And we always say they're sowing their wild oats. And some people mean by that they're sexually involved, and other people just mean that they're out doing the things that young people like to do. It's having fun and being themselves in a very positive, wonderful way. But self-restraint is feeling my oats without sowing them. Now, oats could be doing what it may be contrary to the relative world. And if we're doing things that are contrary to the relative world, we're asking for problems. We're asking for things that are going to be discomforting to us, discouraging to us, destructive to us, and not very pleasant. But that is not something we would condone, not something we would recommend or that we'd support. Discipline is a very important part of all this. Self-restraint is, in fact, a discipline. It's the ability to be in charge of yourself when all around you others are not. We've given the illustration of children, and the kids are playing, and they want to take their trucks and their tractors, and they want to bang them into each other, and they want to make crashes and do all of that sort of stuff, because that's the type of thing they see on television. And then little Peter, he's watching all this, and he's thinking to himself, those are my trucks. They're smashing up my trucks. Let's see. Ah, yes. Okay, guys, we're now going to have a big, wonderful parade. And it's a parade of the trucks going down the street. And all the people are standing out there watching and looking at how beautiful the trucks are. We're going to wash them and polish them. We're going to put ribbons on them. We're going to really have fun. And so all the kids say, wow, that's a great idea. Let's have a parade. Parades are always exciting for every age. And so the kids get out the bucket of water, and they wash the trucks off. And they're dirtier when they're washed than before they were washed. And they take their ribbons, or they take whatever they can find to make a little bit of a thing. They stick a flower in the window of the truck, and they do all sorts of things. Now, all the trucks have to be at least 3 feet apart, so the judge can have an opportunity to judge it by itself. And of course, then that means that the driver of the truck has to be on the side the judge is not on. Because if the driver was on the side that the judge was on, he couldn't see the truck. So these are all things that Peter's thinking about. And he's also thinking, good, my trucks are going to be taken care of nice now. Now, okay, now, John, this is your truck, the fire engine. And the fire engine is always in perfect condition. The fire engine is always a very important truck because it has a lot of work to do. And if the fire engine gets crashed, the house is burned down. So I'm going to take good care of the fire engine. And John says, yes, that's right, that's right. And Peter says, okay. So then he turns to Arnold and he says, Arnold, you're driving the big dump truck. Now that big dump truck is very powerful. And it can do wonderful things. And it can crash things. But if it crashes things, they'll soon take the driver out of the game. Because they don't want the driver to crash the big truck, because it can hurt a lot of people and hurt a lot of property. So let's drive the truck as though we are the big truck drivers, as though we are the ones who are really working for the companies and doing a good job. And Arnold says, well, naturally, that's right, that's good, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And so, step by step, he goes through all of his little vehicles, the sports car, the Mercedes, he goes through the tractor, he goes through the lawnmowers, you know, pulling lawnmower and things like that. And he goes through all these toys that his father has bought him over the months, not years, but months. And so everybody is starting to take wonderful care of the toys. Now, they want to feel their wild oats by smashing the trucks because that's fun to do. They see it on television. But when Peter uses his judgment and he says, hey, those are my trucks. I won't have anything to play with if the guys smash them all up. So then, after the parade is over, Peter says, all right, guys, let's park the trucks and vehicles all nicely in the garage. My dad made a place for my trucks and vehicle, my toys actually. He made a place for my trucks and vehicles in the garage. Now let's all park them. Now, who gets the first place? And John says, I do. Well, why do you have the first place? Because I got the fire engine. I got the most important one there. And nobody questions it. And then who's next? And so each one takes their choice of going down the line. Okay, now, remember, we have to make sure that all the vehicles are clean when they come in the garage so they don't leave dirt all over. And then when we take them to play, they're all set to go and play. They're all in good condition. Now, are you ready for that? Yeah. They hadn't thought of being orderly, but it comes along. So they're learning discipline. They're learning values. They're learning choice. They're learning wisdom. And in sowing oats, it's not a matter of them being bad oats, but in sowing oats, they want to learn how to do it with discipline. So if young people are taught how to have values, how to make good choices and be disciplined, they have it all their life. Now, adults that didn't have that training as young people, they didn't know Peter, and so they didn't have that training, they're sort of missing out on it. But they're fortunate if they have friends who say, hey, Sylvia, Ingeborg, come on, let's go, and we're going to take a vacation. And Ingeborg and Sylvia say, oh, fine, we're going to go to a mountain cabin. So you go to a mountain cabin. And you drive up to the mountain cabin with your friends. And when you get there, everybody throws their luggage down. I'm going to go out and see the mountain stream. I'm going to do... And you say, just a minute. Before we do anything, we put everything away. Now, each of us has a room. You have that room, you have that room, you have that room. Each of us has... Now, go in there and hang your clothes up just as though, hey, who do you think you are? Well, this is my cabin. I'm inviting you. Oh, okay. So hang up your clothes just as though you're going to live here for months. And put all your things in the dresser just as though you're going to live here. And maybe it'd be a good idea to take a cloth and wipe out the dresser door in case there's some mice that might have been living there. And clean it up real nice. And so they get everything put away. They say, okay, we got everything put away. All right, now, Sylvia, you take the broom and you sweep the floor. Ingeborg, you take a bucket of water and you wash the windows. And whoever else is along, a couple guys maybe, you guys go out and sweep off the porch and you pull the weeds from around the doorstep so it looks like we're here and make the outside look pleasant. And I will get things ready for dinner. Oh, it's early yet. Yes, yes. But I too want to take a walk with you guys. So let's just clean up everything, get it all ready. Then we can spend all the time that we're here enjoying a pleasant cabin that's orderly. Well, now, you weren't being obnoxious about it, but you were being definite. You were teaching values to the people who might not have known values. You're teaching, this is the way we do it here. And as I told you, when I was in the Navy, I taught the guys how to take a razor blade and clean out the toilets. And when they went home, they did that at home because they, dirty old toilet, hadn't been scrubbed under the lid there. Nobody sees it, but I know it's there. And so they cleaned under there, and their mothers all said, wow, that's great. My son had never thought of doing that before in his life. And now he's being orderly. It's wonderful what they learn in the Navy. And that's true. So it's wonderful what you learn on a camping trip where you're going to a cabin in the hills and you're all going to be doing your part. But everyone is orderly. Everyone cares. Now, you come in from the outdoors and it's getting a little chilly out, so you've had your jacket on. And everybody takes their jacket and throws it in a pile. And you say, now just a minute. I want you each to recognize this is your hook. 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 And anybody who doesn't use the hooks doesn't get a chance to wear their warm clothes when it's cold outside. Oh, what do you mean? You're being a dictator here? No, no. Mm-mm. That's what we do in my house. Now, let's go to your cabin. I don't have a cabin. That's right, you don't. I do. So in my cabin, this is how we act. Now, mothers nowadays find it a little difficult to talk to their children. Their children come home with their girlfriend or their boyfriend, and they say, she's going to sleep overnight. And mother says, fine. You give her your room and you sleep on the couch down here. Mom, I was going to sleep in the same room. No, you're not going to sleep in the same room. But Mom, everybody does. Well, whatever they do in their homes, that's their business. But this is my home and I do not accept that. I don't say it's right. I don't say it's wrong. It's just not what I accept. Not what I've been trained to have. Well, now, a child who has that sort of gentleness and firmness is going to grow up to do that with his family. He doesn't think that he's going to. He thinks he's just going to be off the wall, you know, and do anything he wants to do and act in any way he wants to do and have no self-restraint, just sow his wild oats in whatever way it chooses him. But as he gets older, and he sees the benefit of doing things orderly and properly and according to some sort of ethics, some sort of value, he will do that same thing. And he'll teach that to his kids. Like the time I came in the house and Mark was instructing his friends who were going to be staying with him. Now, in this house, we don't drink any liquor, any alcohol. We don't smoke. We don't swear and so forth. And he says, the only person who can do that is my dad. Which was a good thing for him to say. But I wasn't going to be there. I was going to be up in Minneapolis and not in Newport Beach anymore. So Mark had the place all to himself and did real well. And he had a great time. But you see, the thing is, the values that he was taught, he just naturally put them into motion. And his friends respected him for it. They didn't think that he was being dictatorial or dogmatic. They knew that Mark was a very definite person. That he had certain ideals, he had certain values, certain ethics, and he was not going to violate them for anybody. Although he made a tremendous change with his friends. His friends came to live with this hamburger and wiener boy, and by the time they left, he was a pure vegetarian and has been for the rest of his life. That was when he was like 18, 20 years old. And now he's 50 years old, and he's been a vegetarian ever since. But you see, we learn, and we learn new discipline. We learn new attitudes. Just because he'd been a meat eater all of his life, until he met Jeff and Peter and the other kid's name, until he met them, he hadn't had that attitude of being a vegetarian, but he learned. Yeah, the three brothers caused him to be quite changed, but it's very nice. And he, to this day, respects and admires that and lives according to it. Self-restraint is feeling my oats without sowing them. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. And the more that we're able to do that, the more that we're able to take directions from people as they tell us about hanging up our clothes, about putting things away and being sort of orderly, and we're not perhaps used to them, then we learn new and wonderful discipline, which is beneficial to all of us. So think on these things and have fun with them. And just remember, self-discipline is feeling my oats without sowing them. I love you. I love you. I love you.